You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to episode 192 of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting here live in Podcast Detroit. Guests this week include David Derajotis. He's a corporate VP at Burns and Wilcox, talking about cyber risk insurance. Should be a hot topic. And also, we have Nuri the FNG in the house. We're going to be talking all things PenguinCon and a bunch of
guests on my own show.
You're going to be a guest on your own show. And we're going to talk about
Nuri Inception.
And it's there's 100 other events at Podcast Detroit 19 that you're doing. So we figure we'd get you all caught up.
It's a little nuts.
But Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1992.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Contractor, no. I will not bow to any sponsor.
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
I'm rapping. This is my Mac Daddy vibe I'm giving you.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly. Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
Did you say utes?
Yeah, two utes.
What is a ute?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Phenomenal cosmic powers!
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
I've been checking up on what these new Nord dames have got going in the real world, and I want it!
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, that's it!
Are we at a break yet?
You did know, didn't you?
What were you doing in the bar if you didn't know?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds! Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Are we ducks or what?
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I like men like that. Men who give you pleasure. He gave me a lot of pleasure.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Y'all know. Allow me to fumigate my wisdom on the defendant.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Well, let me give you a word of advice. Always bet on black.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
There's no crying in baseball!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed!
Sir, had you better buckle up?
Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening. You have reached the one and only IT in the D Show. We are at episode 190.
The best technology podcast recorded in Metro Detroit on Monday nights.
between 9 o'clock. Yes. True story. We're sitting here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com, where you can follow us, subscribe to us, do all those crazy things. Thank you, Randy and Ian, for filling out the Twitters. And do us a favor, mark your calendars. April 20th, Thursday, Blackfin Royal Oak, IT and the D Social, where it all started. Come hang out. No cover, no speakers, no sponsors. Just pay for your own drinks or pay for one of mine or whatever you want to do.
However that works.
It's really up to you.
Just math. Don't even worry about it.
Hey, segment two, we're going to be joined. We're lucky enough to have David DeRogatis in the house from Burns & Wilcox. He's the corporate VP, talking about cyber risk insurance. It's a new topic for us, and we're pretty interested to kind of dive deep in with Dave. And then also segment three, we got Nuri the FNG in the house.
And no one is excited.
No one's excited. But we're going to be talking with PenguinCon a couple weeks away. And
it's not this weekend. It's next weekend.
Yeah.
It's really dangerously close.
Yeah. It's and
there are expectations.
So we're going to be talking about all the things going on at PenguinCon.
It's like our worst fear of like our pink slip parties. Like, how do we top ourselves?
Wait, I signed up for this crap?
Exactly.
We'll be talking on one of our favorite topics, PenguinCon.
Hey, but before we dive in, so here's the deal. Entrepreneurs, it's time to claim your brand online. Whether you're a first-time blogger or an experienced web pro, HostGator is your one-stop shop for all things web hosting. From design and marketing services to intuitive website builders, HostGator is with you every step of the way. With hundreds of templates to choose from, HostGator lets you easily design a beautiful site that's perfectly customized to your audience. Their mobile-friendly tools ensure that your site looks great even when viewed on the go. And if you have any questions, you can contact HostGator's 24/7 friendly live support anytime via live chat or email. There's even a 45-day money-back guarantee, so if you decide it's not for you, no problem. There you go. Plus, you can kick off your advertising with $100 worth of credits in Google AdWords and Yahoo Bing. So what are you waiting for? Here's the deal. This is what you do. You can see what HostGator can do for your website by going to HostGator.com/ITandD to sign up. And right now, our listeners are going to get 60% off. That's 60, not 16. 60% off. Just go to HostGator.com/ITandD. As we always love to say, it is so easy a Bob can do it. And as always, guys, thank you for the support.
True story.
So good.
So, you know, as they say, instead of the Circle K, strange things are afoot in the Twitters these days.
There's always strange things afoot in the Twitters.
No, but like, you know, United's going probably through their biggest PR nightmare they've ever had.
It's time to buy United stock, actually.
Dude, I was so excited that. For like 4 seconds. I heard they were offering Chinese takeout. And then that wasn't what it was. And
I heard the new app supported drag and drop.
The new app, yeah, that's right. It's more lifelike. It supports drag and drop. apparently somebody – when's the last time you heard somebody got stung by a scorpion on an airplane? Like United's just trying to go out of business.
Too many mother effing scorpions on this mother effing plane.
Even more, there was like a couple that got removed. A couple going on their honeymoon was removed from a flight because apparently
this story's fishy.
It is fishy
because they said they went up to their seats and there was a guy with his shoes off, like laying
spread out across.
Yeah, totally. So they decided they're going to sit a couple rows in front. And then United took them off the plane because they're not in their seats
with an air marshal. Mm-hmm.
And then they said that's what happened.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Yeah, that one smells like a poo-poo. If I was French,
sit in comfort plus. And
let's go ahead and pile on while the pylon's good.
Hey, we're gonna get some free stuff,
right?
Right. And then who's laying across the aisle though when you're boarding?
Unless it's a connecting flight and you were on the first flight. And
no, because you got to get your seats in tray tables in upright position. Thank you.
Bob's like, I've done this before.
You're not an amateur.
No. But what's going on is, so what's happened is the Yelp Chronicles are happening with United, where, you know, you find out someone, you know, had, you know, a turd in their pasty. And then now everyone gives a one-star Yelp review that never been there.
But it is also my opinion that they're a shitty airline. But
that too. Fine. There's not many good ones left. Our choices are limited these days. So, but what's happening is everyone's piling on and they're writing crap Twitters and crap reviews. And
that was some pretty horrific shit though. I mean, watching this nice little 67-year-old guy get bloodied and dragged off a plane. I tweeted about it.
And what was their first reaction? Smear campaign!
Yeah, did you know that thing he did 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now people are getting their tweets mysteriously deleted from Twitter. They're going through and deleting stuff that they don't like.
I don't know
like.
That it's all that mysterious.
Well, Twitter's deleting things.
Remember how we always say that we're wondering how Twitter's going to learn how to make money? Twitter learned how to make money.
Reputation management?
Allegedly.
Dude, you know what I learned? So yesterday, Easter, and sitting at the in-laws house, and Iron Chef. I see Iron Chef is on the guide, so I turn it on.
They've been for like a week.
They're pushing hard. But one of the commercials, apparently there's a new show on the Food Network called Help My Yelp.
Really?
So like, I did not see this.
I think I'm going to tune in. It's brand new show. It's debuting this week. I already set up the TiVo. I'm going to catch it. I want to see what it's all about because that's the stuff we love to talk about.
Indeed. No, like if you haven't listened to Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever, it's a little side project Dave and I have, that we rag on Yelp reviewers. And it's, that one's a blast.
Yeah.
We just did the airport episode. We did Spirit Airlines, Detroit Airport.
Well, we did the airport
in the restaurant.
And then we did the Spirit Airlines.
And we each picked a restaurant in the airport.
And then we did restaurants in the air. Cause what we found is that people were checking into the airport and leaving crappy reviews based on the airlines and the restaurants. So then we did the airlines where they were checking in and leaving crappy reviews based on the airport and the restaurants. And then we did the restaurants where they were leaving crappy reviews based on, well, they were morons. So
Delta Airlines sucks so bad because of Bigalore's pizza.
Dude, my favorite.
Totally, that's what they were doing.
Oh, no, absolutely. My favorite is the person who left a review of
Hair and the Breadsticks on DTW.
The Irish pub. Who was upset that the food was not authentically Irish. I'm like, you're in an Irish pub in an airport skipping.
In Detroit.
Anyway.
Not even the main terminal,
but we digress.
So let's say you're on New York City Council and we got a lot of tourists. Maybe we should put up some Wi-Fi kiosks on the street.
Yes.
And then wonder why they so did you hear what happened though with these Wi-Fi kiosks? So you can put emergency services in where restaurants are. They didn't realize they were going to be commandeered by the Manhattan homeless community, basically to be used as their own Pornhub outlets on the middle of the street.
Why would they not be?
Why would they not be? Because everything else on the internet is porn. So what happens is they're grabbing a little lawn chair and they're moving up to these kiosks, and basically it's Pornhub, and you can't go near it because you don't want to go near it at this point.
Because you ran a black light. It looks like a Jackson Pollock painting. Yeah,
exactly. And they don't know what to do about it.
But hey, good on Pornhub. We are fans. Was it Pornhub? Hold on.
Yeah, it's Pornhub.
Okay. Good on them. Apparently, they've decided that they want to help increase women in STEM. And that's not a euphemism, because I know it's Pornhub. But they handed out a $25,000 scholarship to a student right here at U of M.
Which is about, what, 2 credit hours at U of M?
Yeah, maybe.
No, but so how do you get a Pornhub scholarship? Like, she'd have to submit, like, a thing.
I think they had to submit videos, actually.
I watched the thing, and like I think somebody else submitted her or like nominated her.
And she's in her doctorate.
Yeah,
because like biophysiology.
Because they had the video call, like they had the video of the video call that happened, and she seemed rather taken aback that this was something
dubious.
She was winning.
It's called the Pornhub Cares Scholarship. Yeah. It's so trolly. It's not even like a real thing.
Everything they do is trolly. I mean, like near the election or when some senator somewhere is trying to ban porn, they're like, oh, 90% of the porn coming from Kentucky right now is this.
Yep.
They're just, they're data. They're smart. I mean, Pornhub is my favorite porn site.
They're amazing.
I'll go ahead and say that.
They truly are. They should sponsor our podcast.
Oh, shit.
Or not.
Someone out there's got to be listening.
So my favorite story this week by a long shot, by a mile, is that basically the title is how Google killed Burger King this week. And if you haven't read this story, it's amazing to say the least.
Well, so – and this goes back to a story we had a couple months back where a guy was – a dad was kind of surprised to just see like a dollhouse arrive at his house. And he figured out that it was because his daughter – had said, Daddy, I really want a dollhouse. And the Amazon Alexa had picked up on that and ordered a dollhouse, and it showed up at his door. Well, then the news came out to do a story because, well, technology goes sideways. Let's go do a story. So the local news crew came out and did a story, and every home that this story aired in on the news the Amazon Alexa picked up that same voice command and ordered a freaking dollhouse and had it delivered to those people's houses. So along come the genius, whoever's the genius at Burger King.
So they do a TV ad, and the TV ad at the end is supposed to trigger your Google Home device.
It did.
Right.
Yeah.
Intentionally trigger your Google Home device to give a definition of a Whopper.
It's like, okay, Google, what's a Whopper?
Right. But little did they know that it's getting pulled from a Wikipedia basically link. And what can you do with Wikipedia?
Edit it pretty damn easily.
You can edit pretty damn
Make
easily.
Make it say whatever you want.
So pretty much this thing was going on a, I don't want to say a bender, but it was pretty much saying what it was made of: dog food, it was made of child.
The Whopper is a 100% flame grilled patty made up of 100% ground child. Topped with cyanide and cheese. Delicious.
And as fast as you can edit it, like someone's going to edit it again. And when you do something like this, the internet's going to find out about it.
Dude, I get in wars all the time with Jessica because we're laying in bed and she's like, hey, Google, play Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. And that's just the one. She just does that to piss me off. And I'm like, no, stop, Google. And she starts laughing and Google doesn't hear. And I heard that song like 1,000 times and I just wanted to stop. Jessica, I just wanted to stop. Anyway,
they're apparently coming out. There's an update apparently coming to Alexa that will enable voice recognition.
Oh, yes.
So
please.
It will know you. And that because I'm not gonna lie, like that happens a lot. Like on Bob's back porch, when the Alexa comes out to start playing music, just I deliberately did not say anyway. It becomes a scream fest. Like, who can yell the loudest to get Alexa to react and play the worst song possible?
Alexa's a battered housewife at Bob's house. I swear to God, Bob yells at it.
No, it's my kid between my kids trying to get it to say Simon Says Poop to like my friends screaming at it to trying to get it to play like Tiffany, Think We're Alone Now. There's just that thing wishes it would never have been shipped to my house in Auburn Hills.
Dude, I've tried. I'm like, Google, never play Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. And it's like, playing Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. And one of these
That's
days.
That's not what I meant.
One of these days.
So you know who's a straight up dildo is Mr. CEO of Snapchat, Mr. Evan Spiegel.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't really think this through.
No, it's like, you know what? Listen, you have the world's dumbest app that's valued at the world's highest valuation for anything that could be possibly.
Sit back and shut up.
Just count your money.
Yes.
Just wait until the
Ride
stock
that MF
just
or cash the out. Fall off. Yeah.
Wait till Facebook buys you or Facebook's trying to take you or replicate you.
Right.
Yeah. But he goes out and talks about how he doesn't want it being used in poor countries like India.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? It's an app on your phone that lets you delete pictures of boobies. Like that's really all it was. And let people in India delete pictures of
temporary boobs.
Right.
Let them have those too. That's yes.
But who does he care who uses it? It's not like it's a prestige. Oh, it's
I've got Snapchat. Yeah. Do you have Snapchat?
Is this like the iPhone 7? Oh, you have a Rolex? Oh my goodness. You have Snapchat? Oh my God. You drive a Mercedes? You know, it's like, what in the world is the thing? Like, let me see your phone. Wow, Snapchat, huh?
Oh. That's a premium app.
Wow.
There. Oh.
Wow. Do you
not just anybody can download that.
For free from the App Store.
Own custom filter, Eddie?
Right.
Nothing but the best for you, my friend.
So, of course, now there's an enormous boycott movement going on, and everybody in India is leaving it because we just talked about this, leaving it 1-star reviews in the App Store and coming up with, you know, boycott Snapchat and all this other fun.
Isn't India kind of like the largest emerging market in the world for technology?
Well, and that's what a lot of the reviews are pointing out. Like, here's how dumb you are.
Yeah.
He's got his money, though. How much more does he need? How many billions is his stupid thing worth? Like, is he worth more than GM, too? Than Tesla is? Like, she's for crying out loud. What did you do? You have a yellow ghost that temporary boobs.
Ephemeral boobs.
Worth $50 billion. Sign your check here.
Ephemeral. That's an awfully big word.
Ephemeral boobs, yeah. I like that.
Awfully big word.
So I think Nuri's favorite, because he uses the app all the time,
is the
Grindr lawsuit that's going on. We talk about revenge porn, and last, I think we talked about that six-figure settlement.
$600,000 lawsuit.
Yeah. This one, dude, I ran into some buddies from high school this weekend, and we talked about, you know, that one house we ordered like 10 pizzas to, and we giggled.
Which is fun and harmless.
Yeah, that's
like, and we used to drive around and like, you know, lawn ball. Like we used to go and find all the houses with lawn balls, and then we would take them and put them all on one house.
Oh, well, that was Halloween. Signs.
That was Halloween. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, the open house signs. We would find all of those and put them in one yard.
This one, like way over the boundaries of even like funny. Like there's a point where
no, this
you
is,
do it you're, twice, you're, it's funny.
Yeah, no, you're an ass.
This guy. Point. It was a jilted relationship, right? Where just someone dumped each other, bad, whatever happened.
Dude dumps dude.
Yeah. And over the past 5 months, 1,100 gentlemen have knocked on his door for
showed up at his place of work.
Worked. Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't see that.
He works in a restaurant or something.
Yeah.
So they'd come find him at work. Yeah.
For sexy time. And
it could happen to any of us, Bob. It could happen to any of us.
The worst part about it was it wasn't just like, hey, I'm into like, no, like you can push my boundaries. I'm going to play hard to get.
You can ring my bell.
Yeah. Right. And so like 1,100.
No. And that was like the really truly nasty part of this was, you know, the statements in the Grindr profile. Like
it was many 16 a day.
Well,
because
what happened is, you know, so a guy dumps guy, jilted guy grabs his photos, keeps creating fake Grindr profiles of the guy that dumped him. And then not only keeps creating these profiles, but adds things in there like, you know, and I'm really into being forced. So like when I say no, don't take that as a no, because I really want you to keep pushing and keep going.
So basically what this boils down to is the legal kind of stepped in and said, you know, what are their legal responsibilities? Well, yeah. Do they have any?
Well, because I mean, we've had this whole chat about the DMC, you know, the DMCA protections and all that stuff, where theoretically as a content, you know, as a content service provider, you're not necessarily liable for the things that someone who uses your service posts.
Well, there's a 1996 Decency and Communications Act, but does that apply to modern day apps?
Oh, yeah, because, yeah.
Right?
Well, not only that, but I mean, it's, you know, at what point do you, a service provider, because I mean, that's the thing, you know, even under the DMCA, if someone lodges a complaint with you that they're using, that's, you know, someone is using your material, you have to respond and you have to react. You can't just ignore it. So, you know, the fact that, you know, this guy is, you know, using his photos, you know, to create these profiles, you know, theoretically it's using his likeness. He does have some legal protection there. And that's kind of where this lawsuit is going, is that it's, you know, what, you know, because what was kind of dumb is that Snapchat, not Snapchat. Grindr has said, there's no physical way for us to prohibit this.
I mean, think they've got 2 million daily active users in last year alone.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you like literally say, I'm going to go through all these profiles and determine which ones are fake or not?
But you've got like, I don't know, a dozen or so third party service providers that have all raised their hands during the course of the discussion going, we do that. We can do that for you. They just choose not to. You know, there was a whole thing about, I believe it was Facebook in France, where they just like underwent a whole like serious crackdown on, I think they wound up banning 30,000 fake accounts,
wow.
As determined by some algorithm that
right
they
up
had
to the election they were doing in France. Yeah.
Because they allow internet voting and internet, you know, they wanted to cut down on fake news and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, good to see they're doing that in France and not here in the US. But no, so it's going to be interesting to watch this case play out because, I mean, there is some merit to it. And I mean, it's a little scary. I mean, you know, you think about how much we post of ourselves. I mean, Bob, how long did it take me to create the Rex profile?
3 seconds.
Using your photo, your likeness. Yeah, I mean, and it took, yeah, I mean,
it took me to wake up in the morning going, well, did you guys do this? Like, well, you delete it and you didn't delete it for like 3 days.
I did.
But what happens if this dude wins and then content providers are forced to lock that down? What am I going to have to? This is my ID. I'm scanning it. This is my legal name to be able to create profiles for things. Am I going to have to like tie all my Pornhub accounts back to my ID that is now in a database somewhere? I think that's the dystopian where this could go if this guy wins.
Well, I mean, Facebook has a similar issue. I mean, they tried the whole crackdown with real names and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, and that still comes up every now and then. Like I still know some people that are kind of torqued off about it because they got forced to use their government name, if you will. It's, you know, it's weird. It's kind of a thing, you know, and I don't know. there are certain times where I think you need to have some semblance of accountability. And I think that's one of them. You know, like when you're throwing your, you know, like how many times, you know, like, the keyboard commando, you know, is enabled because of anonymity. You know, because of a fake name on a Discuss account or a fake name on a Facebook profile.
Or all the fake names. I mean, read the free comments, for instance, right? There are just hundreds of people from the suburbs commenting about how shit a shithole Detroit is.
Yeah.
None of them with a real name.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, on some level, I'm okay with locking that down a little bit. You know, and I get it, the whole,
if you want a good product, listen, if I'm the Free Press, the last thing I want is for my comments section to be a pile of shit.
Should be the Mos Eisley cantina.
Yeah.
You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
And you're right. Just so that would be my one big, it's not about the clicks anymore. It's about your product, and your product sucks when that's all you see is that garbage.
Yeah.
After everyone you post. So Dave, quick question real quick before we go to break.
Answer.
How many times did you watch the new Star Wars?
Twice.
Only twice?
Only twice. I'm not going to lie. So the first time I was completely meh. And then I had a discussion with people about it. So I went back and watched it again. I'm still a little meh.
Here's where it gets interesting. So somebody put, I think it's geeksomething.com, Geek Hub or whatever it's called, put episode 7 and episode 8 trailers side by side.
Uh-huh.
They were 100% identical every way, shape, or form. Here comes a hand on the ground. Here comes a hand on the ground. Here comes Finn looking off in the sand. Here's Rey looking off into the mountain and where Luke was. Here's a starship flying. Here's another starship flying. Here's something crashing. Here's something crashing. Frame by frame was 100% up identical.
So you're saying that Disney is completely formulaic? Who knew?
Yeah, it's craziness. Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, it's, you know,
it doesn't bother me because it was awesome.
Well, but I mean, if you think back, I mean, I was the same way about the episode 7 trailer.
Wait, hold on. Bob just said the same video with a different voiceover track was so awesome.
It was. Kylo Ren could hand fart for 2 hours, and I would stand in line for two days to go watch it.
Kylo Ren can kiss. No,
but right? That they turned like. But the only problem is I hate you for it because all I'm looking for is member berries.
And that's all it is.
Remember pod racing?
Hey, remember pod racing?
Remember the Millennium Falcon?
Remember the Falcon? Here's the Falcon. Remember?
Remember the scene in 7 with Luke holding the flaming R2-D2 with the flame in the back? Here's that scene now. Remember Ray's on the island?
Because again, it's Disney. They've got a formula now and they're going to keep rolling this shit out. Once a year or twice a year, every year,
and
until
we're
going to
keep paying for it.
And I don't care, honestly, if
dude, no,
the whole movie,
we're still going to be there for the midnight show.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're not going.
If the whole movie was Rey being constipated from the one quarter portion and her quest was to have a solid BM,
was to get a Roto-Rooter from BB-8,
I would be there watching and loving it every minute of it, going, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? One quarter portion. Oh, it really hurt her stomach this time. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. I'm totally in.
But wait, there's more.
Right. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with David Derajotis from Burns & Wilcox talking cyber risk insurance. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Episode 192 of the IT in the D show. If we're only recording during our breaks, it would be gold. We're hanging out in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com.
You can't build tomorrow's innovation on yesterday's technology. That's why leading companies around the world trust the Couchbase data platform to power their modern web, mobile, and IoT applications. Couchbase offers unsurpassed agility and unparalleled performance at any scale in an easy-to-operate platform. Plus, It allows you to manage billions of records and terabytes of data, all while supporting millions of users. The Couchbase data platform includes Couchbase Server, which has SQLite querying with high-performance indexing, Couchbase Lite, which is the first mobile NoSQL database, and Couchbase Sync Gateway, which keeps your data center and mobile devices in sync. Couchbase is designed for global deployments and has configurable cross-data center replication built right in. So see for yourself why leading companies like Cisco, eBay, GE, Marriott, and Verizon are taking advantage of Couchbase's many unique capabilities. So use Couchbase to start transforming your customer experiences today. Learn more at couchbase.com/ITinTheD. That's couchbase.com/ITinTheD to learn more about how you can build web, mobile, and IoT applications with Couchbase.
Awesome.
Thanks for the support.
Definitely. Thank you. And we are joined in this segment, too, by the corporate VP of Burns & Wilcox, David Derajotis. Appreciate coming out and speaking with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, like, when this came
up, a topic that's near and dear to our hearts.
Well,
we talk about this every week. There's one of these stories.
Yeah. But this is kind of new to me is insurance for cyber breaches. I mean, Is this new? I mean, I guess, are you guys at the forefront of this? Like, what? Talk to me. What cyber risk insurance is this? I guess let's just start there, and we'll dive in after that.
Sure. This is what I'll say. I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about insurance of all things. And normally, insurance would sound like a horribly boring thing to talk about. But the insurance that we're involved, the insurance that we're involved in as an organization, Burns & Wilcox, we're the largest independent wholesale broker in North America. We have 50 offices across the United States, Canada, and London. The type of insurance that we do, it's outside the box. So it's putting insurance together for a skyscraper. It could be in Los Angeles or Detroit.
Like Lloyds of London stuff?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The skyscraper that's tilting at 6 inches per month.
That's exactly right. And cyber insurance is right in the wheelhouse of that outside the box, needs to be handcrafted, tailored to the specific risk. I mean, you guys of all people know, the listening audience here knows, cyber risk is probably one of the biggest threats facing businesses in the 21st century. We're talking about 8 billion connected devices. We're talking about government-sponsored, state-sponsored attacks on private companies. Look back at the Sony hack in 2014. We had Guardians of Peace allegedly affiliated with North Korea.
Yep.
They hacked into Sony. They completely obliterated their entire network, made it so they could not operate. They weren't able to send emails back and forth. They were sent back to the 18th century.
Yep.
I mean, handwriting notes to one another. There's insurance for those types of things, and that's exactly what we focus on in addition to these other specialty areas.
So that's my biggest question with all this is quantifying it, because we always hear like, hey, the Wendy's breach, the Target breach, and oh, it made the news, but then sales never go down, or I never stopped eating my Wendy's, right? Like, but Wendy's is going to claim, hey, I lost $2 billion. I mean, how do you quantify these breaches and what the losses are?
Yeah, that is a difficult part. There are probably 60 insurance companies as a whole that are specializing or writing some form of cyber liability insurance. And these policies were really thrown into the mainstream probably in the dot-com era, 2000, when all these companies were filing for IPO when they were operating online. If you look at talking about taking a hit to the bottom line, when Verizon purchased Yahoo –
We've talked about that a couple times now. Yep.
Exactly right. They took a $350 million price discount.
Woof.
On that acquisition.
Because of the second hack. Yep.
Exactly.
I mean, think about it. Like, if you're an online company, there are dozens of online companies that sell everything, right? So you want to have an easy experience and you want to have a company you can trust.
That's right.
So like, how do you insure someone's online reputation?
That can be very difficult. And
that's what I was like, the risk assessment part of this has to be insane.
You know what? It started off as insane, where you had to be a CIO to fill out the 10-page application that cyber insurance used to have.
In triplicate.
Exactly. Right. And now they've boiled it down. We've been able to boil it down to a one-page quick app where we take a look at what are the company's revenues. What type of data are they storing? How many records? What kind of records are they storing? What type of companies are they working with? Because even for small, think about a small organization, you know, thinking back to the Target hack, it was a small HVAC contractor that was breached. And that is exactly how they got in, from compromising the small HVAC contractor. That's how they were able to get into Target.
Well, it's like, you know, that was one of the stories we didn't get to this week, was the assertion that's out there that the NSA compromised the entire SWIFT system, which is how banks transfer money and communicate back and forth, through a couple of little indie South American affiliates
yes.
that had access that were vulnerable.
That's exactly right. So you're talking about the Bangladesh Bank, 84 million dollars that was taken. That's the type of stuff that a cyber insurance policy will cover. They'll write the check on something like that. Wow. If you look at all of the organizations, all of the businesses that have fallen for the business email compromise scam, you know, the FBI terms it business email compromise, they're faking the CEO, faking the chief information officer, sending an email. Please forward the W-2 information. Please wire transfer this money. These insurance policies will literally write the check if somebody sends off $30,000, $50,000.
Now, are there compliance requirements? Like if you dig in and say, Ford's only running NAC and they don't have a firewall or an intrusion, like you got hacked because you're stupid. Does that ever – I'm not saying – sorry,
your
Ford.
Your premiums.
It yeah, will. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. But I'm just saying, is there compliance requirements when
– Please send all your hate mail to bob@itinity.com.
Exactly. It depends on the size of the organization and the type of industry that you're operating in. So healthcare, yes. Financial services, yes. If you're a manufacturer, not so much. If you're a small online retailer, not so much.
So you need to be like HIPAA compliant, PCI compliant in order to even get the insurance to begin with.
To have special coverage.
If you're in that space.
Yes. Well, that's the interesting thing. You can still get insurance, but it might not cover the HIPAA fines and penalties because these policies will cover regulatory fines and penalties. The FTC has stepped up as a cyber enforcer, as a watchdog. So if you are compliant, if you're compliant with HIPAA, if you're compliant with PCI, whatever regulatory body, they'll write the check for those fines and penalties that are assessed against you. If you're not compliant, that's a portion of the coverage that will not be covered.
Well, I guess it's no different than, you know, yeah, dude, like, yes, my doors were locked. Yes, I have an alarm system. Yes, and someone still got in.
Yep. That's exactly the problem. You could have a $100 million budget for cybersecurity. All it takes is one uninformed employee that clicks on a link, that opens up an attachment, that forwards off information that they shouldn't have forwarded.
Hello, DNC.
Wah, wah.
That email is not legitimate, Dave. It's not legitimate.
He meant to say not. That was the problem, yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. So we want to know, you know, as a cyber risk expert, as a cyber insurance company that is actually writing the policy, we want to make sure that they're compliant. We want to make sure that they are taking the proper steps. Yes, they have a firewall. Yes, they have antivirus software. Yes, they're compliant with HIPAA. But like I said, all it takes is one single mistake, one stupid mistake that an employee makes unintentionally, and that opens up the door.
Well, I saw that one of the favorite words, ransom payments.
Yes.
Ransomware. Yes. Now, I guess where does that start and stop? Because that could get crazy really fast with what's going on right now. I mean, how are you looking at that?
Yeah, that's very difficult to quantify. Insurance companies will cover it. $1 billion were paid out last year. $1 billion.
From insurance or from just regular people paying ransomware?
Regular people paying ransomware.
So it's $1 billion market.
$1 billion and growing market.
We're in the wrong business, guys.
We need to be far less scrupulous.
At least my pop-up boxes will have properly formed sentences and correct grammar.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference with these things now, but that's exactly the thing. If you have an organization that falls victim to a ransomware attack, let's say it's a small enterprise, they don't properly back up all of their information. The insurance company will write the check. If they have no other means but to pay the ransom,
oh my gosh.
The insurance company will write the check.
So that's what I was wondering. Is it writing the check to cover the ransom, or is it writing the check to cover the we need new servers, we need new everything? Yeah.
It's both. So they will write the check to cover the ransom payment. Okay, please give me back the key so I can encrypt my data. It will cover that. And it will also a cyber insurance policy can act as a builder to the IT budget.
Right.
So in addition to writing the check, it's going to pay if you have to bring in a special consultant to come in, if you have to pay your IT guys overtime because of this attack cause undue strain on the organization, if you have to pay to bring in whatever resources it takes to get your company back to where it should have been prior to the attack, these types of policies will pay those things.
So that sounds like a horrible business to get into. just knowing that how many businesses are getting hit with all the different types of attacks and ransomware and breaches. And
I know.
I mean.
Well, because what was it? Was it the St. Louis public library system that we talked about?
Yes, just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they basically just did the math and said, you know what? It's cheaper for us to just go out and buy an entire new network than it is to pay the ransomware. Yes.
The first public utility in the country that fell for a ransomware attack happened here in Michigan last year. I don't know if they paid. It was a public utility. It was water and electric. They fell to a cyber attack. They fell to a ransomware.
Did it rhyme with the schmoomers? You don't have to answer that.
I don't answer that question. But they were the first public utility to fall victim to this type of attack. It was roughly a $2 million overall enterprise loss. I don't know whether they paid the ransom, but it set them back $2 million. They had cyber insurance in place, and those are the types of things that these policies, those are the types of losses, the type of financial risk transfer, the type of resources that are provided with these policies. They'll even cover bodily injury and property damage, the right policy, the right policy. So you think of healthcare. I've seen these risks come in where I'm reviewing it, you know, our team's reviewing it, and we see that a healthcare entity either got hit with a ransomware attack or they had some type of disruption that prevented them from bringing new patients. Think about what that could do to the ER. You have people rushing in. The computers are down. The backups are not operable. They have to turn people away.
There were two California hospitals, I think, this year that got hit from that already.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every single week. Every week. So you think about a public utility and you look at the type of resources these nation states, these governmental entities have. You look at Fancy Bear that are tied to Russia.
Well, let's be honest. And we kind of started it with Stuxnet. So, I mean, it's not like we have a whole moral high ground. Well, that was
a whole, that's a whole nother level, right? Because Stuxnet physically damaged pieces of hardware,
it
right?
Sent cyclotrons out of control. Yeah.
Yes. So you've got a policy for that?
There's a policy for
that. Oh my God.
There is a policy for that. Yes.
If only the Iranians had known.
That's right. Well, you look at Saudi Aramco. I mean, they had 35,000 computers that were either wiped or completely destroyed. If they, and one of the largest oil companies in the world in Saudi Arabia, there's a policy that would be able to cover the cost to restore their hard drives, the cost to restore their network, the cost to bring in the right people to rebuild the entire system to keep them running in the black.
Wow.
Those are the types of things that these policies are doing. But, you know, unfortunately, it's a highly, like IT. Cybersecurity, it's a highly technical area. So there are so many people that don't understand the intricacies, that don't understand how these policies work and keep the business operating.
Well, and I guess that would be my next question, because, I mean, God, another conversation we've had on here a million times is it's hard enough to get people to understand the importance and necessity of proper security.
Yeah.
How do you get them to understand the need for insurance? I mean, that's –
I know.
It's hard enough to get them to buy security, right? You're totally right.
Yeah, you know, do you bother shelling out money for a DR if you've never crashed before?
Right. Right. No, it's a valid question.
My servers are in the basement. There's nothing ever going to happen to this basement.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot that goes into education. There's a lot that goes into business awareness. What's important to you as a business? The way I look at it, nobody would operate. No one would drive a car without automobile insurance.
Unless you live in Detroit.
Well, in the 21st century, in the way that we're connected, the way that organizations communicate with their own employees, with their consumers, their customers all around the world, no business should be operating in this 21st century connected economy without having cyber insurance. So I ask organizations, what's important to you? What would downtime look like for you if it was 1 hour, if it was 10 hours, if it was one day, a week? What could that do to you?
Well, someone I talked to that I like very much, he said this line once a week, and I loved it. He said, you walk into the work on Monday and all your furniture is gone. Could you still work? Kinda, yeah. Because your data, if you're walking on money, and your data's gone.
Just go back home and VPN in. Yep.
Right. If you're walking on money, and your data's gone. What can you do? And it's like, nothing. I'm done.
Sit on the couch.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know. But no, it kind of falls into this. Like, that's your most important asset as a company.
That's right. I mean, think about it from, you know, owning a home or renting a home. What happens if your water heater goes out? If it just bottoms out in the basement? Are you going to take time to have all of these contractors come in and write you an estimate as your basement floor is completely flooded? Likely you're going to
call the home warranty people and they come fix it.
That's exactly it. So with a cyber risk insurance policy, with a cyber liability insurance policy, it's risk, financial risk transfer. It's going to give you that to keep your business running, but it brings in the resources.
Well, and I think as the world has evolved, and I mean, like now, finally, we're in a world where CTOs and CIOs have to sign off on documentation that can land their asses in jail. Yeah. if things go wrong, I would assume that's probably a help to you.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. What, you know, what type of due diligence did the chief information officer, the CISO, the board of directors, what type of conversations were they having about enterprise risk control, about cybersecurity? Was insurance a part of that? Because insurance is going to pad the bottom line for them. Insurance is going to provide the necessary resources, the forensic team to come in, the network of privacy attorneys or whatever privacy attorneys they need to hire, so that they can make sure that the organization is compliant with all of the laws, which, as you guys know, vary from state to state to state to state. So they're going to provide all those resources, setting up a call center for any affected customers.
So it's like life insurance, but you get Belfour to, like, with the wet vac in your basement. that's what I'm seeing in my head.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I mean, these are like really high tech topics that you're dealing with, and it's a constantly evolving threat landscape. What percentage of your firm is insurance geeks and the other actual geeks?
Yeah. Well, we have, because we're true technicians, because we focus in niche areas. I mean, it's writing professional liability. It could be medical malpractice, doctors and hospitals, cyber liability insurance for all sorts of industry sectors. We have a ton of geeks because as a wholesale broker, that's what our job is to provide that value, to provide the expertise. It's to craft the necessary policy, the wording, making sure there aren't these crazy exclusions that are tied in. So we have to be geeks because we have to know this stuff inside and out, just like you guys.
Well, I mean, let's be like at their core. I mean, dude, have you ever sat down and like had a conversation with somebody who's an actuary?
No.
It'll make your head hurt. Like, I mean, their entire essence of being is numbers and statistics and probability.
Yeah.
Statistics. Statistics. I mean, I have a friend of mine that got a master's in statistics, and he's at JD Power. And that's so all
he wears a lot of leather?
Yes.
That's what Christian Gray is his name.
Right.
Dr. Christian Gray.
No, but he's at JD Power, and he's basically just like doing
stats. Dude, it's nuts.
Yeah. Because we got into talking one time at Hamlin, and he was going through like, what are you even looking for? And he went into it. It was just, what?
Well, yeah, it's the whole probability versus possibility. Right. And what's probably, yeah, it's, yeah, wow. So,
we have to understand a variety of industry sectors. I mean, what's going to be unique and specific?
Listen, that's going to be the crazy part is you've got like mom and pop places with their little eBay store and, you know, or their little like their 12-year-old built them a website. And then you've got the eBays and, you know, the Bank of America's and, you know, I mean, it's.
Yes.
It's such a. Man, that's insane.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it runs the gamut. So we have special programs. If you are a small mom and pop shop, we don't want you to fill out a 10-page application. It's a 1-page quick app. You'll get your policy for $1,000 for $1 million limit of liability with all the bells and whistles and
$1,000 a year?
$1,000 a year because we have the expertise. Yes. But I'll also tell you that we've put together policies that are $250 million in limits and above for large governmental entities, for professional sports organizations, for large hospitals, huge conglomerates. You know, people that are providing organizations, IT firms that are providing IT services to banks and financial institutions. The gambit ranges, and we have to treat every particular client unique and specific to their risk factors and to what's going to make sense for them. So we have a team full of geeks that focus on a variety of areas to make sure that the consumer, the client, is getting what they
– Also, I said, I mean, the risk assessment part of that has got to just be the insane
– Yes.
That's got to be the insane ramp up.
Well, not just external. We haven't even talked about internal. Like the whole social engineering or like the stealing of data for like leaving employees.
I'm going to work on this at home. So I'm going to email myself the spreadsheet.
Right.
Yeah. Or I'm not going to give my laptop back when I get fired or something. I mean,
exactly. I mean, how many times has somebody left a laptop at the airport going through traveling? How many times has somebody lost their smartphone when they didn't have the passcode that was put on there? All sorts of organizations, they make these simple blunders, but it's just a part of having that human element. It's sending off the email attachment from who they thought was the CEO saying, please forward this information or please make this wire transfer.
Yep.
It's nearly impossible to assess every single risk for every single organization. So what we do is we try to tailor it to the particular size, to the particular industry segment, and we take our best shot. You know, we know that we're going to lose some of these. We know that we're going to lose our shirt. You know, the carriers that we work with, because we're not the insurer. We're not the risk bearer. We're the broker. So we make sure that we go out to the right insurance company. Those 60 that are writing that insurance,
right?
We know the appetite, the guidelines. We understand every single insurance company that's writing this. So we'll pair up the risk with that particular insurance carrier. And because of our expertise, there are insurance companies that give us the ability to underwrite the risks on their behalf.
Wow.
because of the expertise that we have. So we have teams of underwriters that do all of the risk analysis, that put out the terms and conditions. Then we have teams of specialty brokers that are working with those 60 insurance companies to tailor that $250 million insurance limit to meet the needs of that organization.
You know, I'm going to have to say this is the most interesting conversation I've ever had about insurance and probably the only one I've ever enjoyed.
I know. So, like,
that's a compliment. I
wow.
No, this is, God, yeah, I feel like we could, yet again, we could have this conversation all night.
Yeah, no doubt.
So where do people find out more? Like where do they go find out about these policies? How do people get started?
You can go to burnsandwilcox.com. We serve the retail insurance industry sector. So we don't work directly with the business owner that wants the insurance. It's kind of a crazy chain. If you're an organization and you want insurance, you have to go to this is where it gets a little boring. You have to go to an independent insurance agent. The agent then comes to us as the wholesale broker. So we're working with the representatives.
So how do you find an agent that does that? Well, like,
those are based on relationships. You can go to the big guy.
Like, can I call my State Farm guy?
Those guys don't specialize.
Those guys are mouth breathers.
Well, that's all
of them.
Hey, my guy's been really, really good to me.
My buddy works there.
My guy likes his picture on everything. That's all my guy.
Well,
does.
Yeah, that happens.
But we have a number of we work with thousands of agents and premier clients that we serve all over the U.S. and Canada and London. But what I would recommend doing is just Googling or looking for independent insurance agents in your area or asking for a referral. Maybe it is from the insurance agent, State Farm, or whomever it may be, and they can refer you to the right person. But just make sure that Burns and Wilcox is the one that you tell them they need to ask for.
Okay. Very cool.
It's amazing. It's like it's also seeing what's behind the curtain of insurance, stuff that we don't think about for like our home liability or property liability. It's just, man, mind blown. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, this was very cool.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Dave, appreciate it. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Nuri. Talking,
me?
Yeah, you. Oh, talking all things PangoCon and a bunch of events that IT and the D and Podcast Detroit are involved in. So this is the IT and the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITandTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 192 of...
Once again, thank God we do not record during the break.
The IT and the D show, broadcasting here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan, right next to the Chicken Shack. This is Bob, the sales guy, next to Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com. And there you can find all the things, especially the meat tab, which is what we're going to be talking about right now. And
that's still EET.
M-E-E-T.
Because we still... do not have meat sticks.
Call out to Brad Hughes. He's the bat signal.
All right.
Give us a meat, M-E-E-A-T.
Meat.
I would eat official IT and the D branded meat sticks.
Have Monday night meat sticks.
Monday night meat sticks.
Yeah. We do that. Yes.
We even have the logo. Thanks to Kelly.
So the surprise.
By the way, great shout out to Kelly. I don't know if you saw her post on Facebook. She was hilarious. She's been kind of dark on social media a little bit lately. And so she posted a photo yesterday. It was a side profile shot and her stomach was pretty far out there. And, she said, you know, hey, I don't know if that, you know, all you can eat Easter buffet is really just kicking my ass or if this is what happens when you play with boys. Lesson learned, but you know, repercussions arrive in July. So congratulations to her. She's prego and good for her and Steve.
I didn't think anything of it because my stomach looked like that yesterday too.
Your stomach always looks like that, Bob.
But hey, we Dave and I kind of freaked out a little bit. We looked at our calendar.
Dude.
For the next few months. And we
forget the next month.
So we usually have a PangoCon episode, and then we decided to use this segment to kind of let's talk about all things. It's kind of one of our favorite topics. I'm not going to lie. PangoCon. Now, I guess Nuri, let's fire this off. You know, for anyone that doesn't know or hasn't been, give us the mile high overview of what PangoCon is. Let's then dive in this thing.
So and I am not an authorized representative of PangoCon. I'm just talking as a guest here, but
last year you were
last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. So PangoCon is kind of this. I mean, we've got so many cons are now mainstream, right? So cons exist in the media. You know, you have these big name talents. They're nerd malls, as I call them. Cons are pretty mainstream. The PangoCon is different from that because it is completely fan run and it is more focused on content and paneling instead of gigantic nerd mall.
Well, so I think the analogy I came up with is that, like, so for example, Motor City Comic Con to me is marketing. PenguinCon is content.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's, I mean, that blew my mind. Like, so, you know, we went a couple years ago, for the first time, and I was floored. I was mad at myself for having never gone. It's something like 500 and some odd hours of programming in the span of less than 2 days.
There are
really
400 something panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all, like, no one gets paid. That's the cool thing too, is that the entire thing is fan run by fans. So even the person in charge, the con chair, Lithi this year,
yep,
makes $0. The board of directors makes $0. It's completely nonprofit and it's community based education. It's,
yeah,
it's what do I know that I can teach to my friends to make them better at stuff?
Well, and it's had an interesting evolution. I mean, so, you know, it's named PenguinCon because it started as a Linux convention.
Absolutely.
Back in the day.
Yep.
But then as happens when you get geeks together, it was, hey, you know, yeah, I like Linux, but.
Yeah, Linux is pretty cool.
I also like
Shillelagh sci-fi. Fighting.
I also like shillelagh fighting. I also like
brewing beer.
Beer, right. Bondage. I also like, you know, so I mean, that's, you know, that's like, the, honestly, like that was, I was trying to explain it. I'm like, look, so it's a, like, it's still a very hardcore, like, if you want to pay it, like, it's still a very hardcore geek fest. Like, I mean, it's, you know, security and RFID. People were getting RFID chips implanted last year. I mean,
all
it was
from Dangerous Things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like, it's still very hardcore cool. geek, but there's also, hey, you want to learn about scarves and knot tying 101. There's a panel for that.
Or knitting or crafting or how to make kimchi is one of the panels.
See, the thing
year.
That blew my mind is that this is setting up in a hotel. It's at the Westin Southfield.
Which is a very nice hotel right there.
It's
the Microsoft,
a very, it's a business, the it's a business Microsoft hotel. Campus. It's in town center. Yeah. And basically they take two or three floors, depending on the year, designate them as party rooms, meaning from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m., if your door's open, anyone can walk into your hotel room and you either, you know, you have give them a shot or give them a beer or give them a drink or whatever you got going on.
And the knitting needle.
Karaoke, knitting needle. There's things going on in 30 to 40 rooms that there's people everywhere.
Well, so 2 years ago, we thought we were going to be badass and we showed up with a Bluetooth speaker. And a couple bottles of booze.
And a couple of kegs. You guys brought enough
liquor.
No, that was last year.
This jumped to 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago.
The free, yeah. And then we went to box for 2 minutes and felt shame because we realized we had woefully underestimated how this should go. So last year we were like, oh, no, it's on. So last year we burned through 6 kegs from falling down, 24 bottles of vodka, 6 bottles of Jaeger, random other miscellaneous bottles.
And brought in professional PA.
Brought in professional
LED,
PA.
LED club lighting.
Had 80s night both nights. Had people from all of the other parties coming to our party to find out why everybody was there. And won best room party.
It was great. And I think that's part of what makes PingoCon so awesome too, is that it's not just, I mean, all of our paneling is generally irreverent, right? We will teach you awesome tech shit, but be irreverent about it.
Yep.
Right. And which
is how it should be.
I agree. But then that nightlife element is such a part of the culture too. I mean, especially since it's all in one hotel, you're not having people at multiple hotels. It's basically, you just go upstairs and party.
And it's not, hey, here's the usual boring con after party that everybody has to sit around the bar at.
No,
it's kind of much like PenguinCon itself, whatever you're into. There's a party for that.
And the Westin Southfield bar is very nice. I mean,
oh, it absolutely
bars are great. You know, thanks, Kanina. My contact out at the Westin. Sorry, I had to. But it's the nightlife is – and I think Barfleet, which is an organization, basically it's kind of like Star Trek, but they're dedicated to drinking. Like,
yeah.
The medical tent is basically where the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – and there's like 8 or 9 different ships around the country. It's like drinking is a sport almost for these guys. But then, you know, you also may find a room
Star
party.
Star Trek and it sucks. Sorry.
Gauntlet Throne.
But they're also one of my favorite was Jurassic Party last year too, which people were dressed up as the gigantic dinos running around.
They came into our room.
There's a Corset and Bloomers party last year that was amazing, where people dressed up in steampunk. There was a quiet a stitching room where they would sit there and like craft and drink as well.
Who was the pirate guy that fed us all rum?
Well, that's Joe.
Yeah.
Wow. He made quite an entrance.
That guy is a CXO of something or another.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. But it is a lovely, it's community, and it's where nerds of all kinds of interests get together and just be themselves.
Well, and it's true. And like, the community and the networking part, I mean, like, that's the cool thing to me. Like, so, I mean, I went to, we had one of our other shows, Shot of History, that did a live remote weekend up at Clash of Ages in Birch Run. I ran into so many people there that I knew from PenguinCon. That, I mean, it's one of those content, like, you know, when you're out of context, it kind of throws you, because I had to be, Dave! And I would turn, I'm like, nope, don't know you, nope, don't know you, nope, nope. Oh, I know you from PenguinCon! So, I mean, it's, you know, and it's like, and that's
actual audio.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the cool part is, like, I've kept touch with a ton of people that I've met, you know, through PenguinCon over the last 2 years. Well, hell, it put me back in touch with the best man from my first wedding, you know, 20 odd years ago. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think the other cool thing about con is that people pay for these media cons a ton of money to get in. They pay their talent tons of money to come. For the entire weekend, PenguinCon is just $50.
Yep.
That's at the door. It's $50 for all the education, all the room parties, things like that.
But there's tabletop games downstairs. We didn't get into half the things going on.
No, you can't.
There's like intros to coding. We're doing a couple panels on podcasting. There's stuff on social interaction. Like, last year we did the panel with Flirting for Geeks,
which one of my favorites always.
Yeah. There's a MST3K ripping. Like last year was
that we were going to get kicked out of.
No, we did get kicked out.
Because we were funnier.
Yeah, right. We were. quit Mickey. This is my panel. Oh, he was so mad at us.
What? Your lines are better than my lines. Knock it off. But no, I mean, like, that is the really cool part, is that there's just so much random, and there's something going on. Like from Friday at 3 p.m. until Sunday at, you know, whenever it shuts down.
And then God bless you, Tom Lawrence, for doing the Sunday morning Linux show at 7 a.m. on Sunday.
Well, I don't know that I would use the phrase God bless you, because I'm the one that had to get up and set up the gear for him.
Have you taught him how to do that since?
Well, no. So here's the beauty of this year. There is a podcasting room this year. So I will be setting up the gear Friday afternoon, and then I will not be going near it again unless I absolutely have to. So, yeah, if you're looking to podcast, come on out.
It's amazing. Like our previous – we've got some really great talent this year. My favorite, Cory Doctorow, which if you don't know who Cory Doctorow is, he editor of Boing Boing. He's written dozens of books that are mostly in the young adult science fiction, a lot of dystopian themes. And he's coming back this year. Actually, this will be his third time back. We had him 2 or 3 years ago, but he's back. This year we also have a large
– you know who's not there this year again?
Who's not there?
Will Wheaton. It's still not there.
Yeah, that's an old running joke. Because all right, no. Here's the Will Wheaton story. So, PenguinCon has invited Will Wheaton several times, and
he signed for Motor City Comic Con.
We've had several acceptances from Will Wheaton. Like, I will totally be there. And then for one reason or another, always at the last minute, he'd cancel. And then one year, he even sent a person to read a letter at opening ceremonies instead of him. So that joke is just no longer funny. And I'm sure there is an episode of The Big Bang Theory where Will Wheaton cancels on a con. And I am sure that that's talking about PenguinCon. or at least in my like self-aggrandized vision of what our con is.
Are we guests of honor this year?
Featured guests.
We're featured guests.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
We don't pay for your room.
Oh, I wouldn't expect it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing we do for our guests of honor. We pay for their airfare. We pay for their food and their hotel room. No one makes any appearance fees for coming. And we've had people like Neil Gaiman.
I know.
At PenguinCon. And
Tron Guy.
Tron Guy comes every year. Love that guy.
One of the big things my takeaway from it, it was pretty heartfelt. The first time I went, and I went home and I wrote what I learned from PenguinCon. And it was just a huge... Pretty much because I've been – no, it's just because
actually,
I've been –
we should surface those up again, because that was actually probably one of the better two-part your take, my take things that we've ever written.
Well, because if you look at it from my take, I'm in a sales guy type A world I don't understand this whole acceptance in like
red dot,
what kind
yellow
of crap
dot,
is
dot,
this? Yeah. I talk to everyone. Don't tell me who I can talk to and not. Well, no, it's the thing. You know, you have to ask permission and you have to like, wait, what? Like, I didn't know, like, you know, I don't go around taking pictures of people in cosplay, but I didn't know you had to ask.
I still think from 2 years ago, the defining moment of that for me was I was just in my element and in all my glory and just having a great time yakking. We were downstairs in the lobby right outside the restaurant, right outside the bar. And I'm yakking and talking and yakking and talking. And I turn and I saw you and you were just like sitting off to the side, kind of looking like Sad Bob. And I was like, I stopped and I went, I'm like, dude, are you all right? You're like, no, I'm good. I'm just absorbing. You go be you. Like I gotta get my bearings and I gotta figure this out. This is your people.
Dave found his school of fish. Go swim.
and there are, I mean, there's like, just think of the different fandoms that exist. I mean, you can have Star Trek and Star Wars fandoms and you can have Harry Potter fandoms and people who like to play board games. And basically all these people are brought into one place for just an amazing freaking weekend.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's dude. And there is literally a little bit of everything. There were furries. There were fairies. There were – and I mean people dressed up as fairies, like with wings and the whole nine yards.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah. There were – you know, I mean it was nuts. You know, and there were, you know, hardcore nerds. There were people that had never touched a computer in their lives. There – I mean it was just – the Venn diagram that results in PenguinCon is – amazing. And like, and that's like, honestly, that's the coolest thing to me is all of the random conversations that I wound up having either outside having a, you know, smoking a cigarette with, you know, the girl that I see there that I saw there for the last 2 years that always has the animatronic fox ears. That's how I immediately recognize her. You know, or, you know, the chats, you know, flirting for geeks and all that kind of stuff, or the 10 commandments of networking or the podcasting panels or anything else that we've gone to. I mean, it's just, it's, and I hate this, and we've talked about how we hate this, but it's like, it's safe and it's home and it's just good people that like want to, they're looking for that. All of them are looking for that moment of, oh my God, you like, I like, but did we just become best friends? Like that. Like that's that entire weekend.
One of the things I'm the most proud of though this year about PenguinCon is that, the chairperson Lithi has basically championed accessibility. So like a lot of conventions have not been accessible or do basic minimums for accessibility. So this year we have an accessibility desk for people who are mobility impaired, basically have increased the previously required accessibility standards. I mean, because every building has them. There's government right. mandated standards, making sure that the hallways are set right, the elevators are set right, that there's accessible seating, braille labels, assistive listening devices, ASL interpreters at some of the major panels, and even have mobility devices for borrowing. There's a
someone's got to tell me which bathroom I can poop in because I'm always confused.
Any of them, Bob.
Any of them? Any I could, them. Oh, just any of them?
Yeah, just give people away. Like 5 minute warning on either side.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly. And then also code of conduct. I mean, there was a lot of news last couple of years about tech conferences and harassment. PenguinCon was one of the first major cons to put together a very inclusive code of conduct and policies and procedures for what happens if those things are violated.
Well, that was the first time I ever saw green sticker, yellow sticker, red sticker on a name badge.
Yeah, that was an opt-in program basically saying, I do not like people, or I do not want, yeah. I do not feel like.
Red, don't talk to me. Yeah. Yellow, only if you know me. Green, talk away.
Which, I mean, some people are very sensitive to those things as far as like their amount of, they want to be in that environment, but they don't, may not want to interact with people all the time. Yeah. Right?
Well, even Black Widow was definitely a yellow. Did not want to talk
to
me.
She was not, well, yeah. She didn't want you to ask her if her special power was kicking.
That's funny. It was funny.
She was not impressed.
It was funny.
We even have a designated reset room this year on the third floor so that for people who are feeling overstimulated or need a quiet place to kind of chill out and relax, may not have a room. It's a quiet place with low lighting for people to basically sit, relax.
So it's the concussion protocol room.
Could be. So I'm really proud coming as a previous con chair of Lithi and the things that she's done this year. surrounding accessibility. I think a lot of organizations see that as an afterthought, but she's really woven that into almost everything she's done this year. So I'm super proud of you, Lith.
Well, and so, like, you know, we did, you know, slam a little bit on some of the other cons that are out there, you know, that, you know, in many ways they've kind of turned into, you know, mass market, you know, flea market kind of things.
Nerd mall.
But there is a maker's market at PenguinCon as well.
And that's the coolest thing is that it's not, I mean, anybody can go onto Alibaba.com or to Thinkerhut.com and buy a bunch of nerd gear and resell it for ridiculous prices. And your $30 t-shirt that you can get off of Woot. Everything at PenguinCon's maker market, it's called a maker market because it is made by somebody who's selling it.
Yep.
So that's the requirement to be in the market is you have to make all the goods you sell. And it's amazing the quality of makers and doers here in Southeast Michigan and the Metro Detroit and surrounding areas that bring their goods to PenguinCon. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember the, you know, last year it was the, okay, like how much money am I going to spend to appease my kids? Do they need this shirt? Do they need that shirt? Do they need this dragon claw? Do they need this? There's a lot of cool stuff there.
What's the charity last year? I remember was the making the
Enable.
It was Enable, right? For the kids' arms and stuff.
Oh my gosh, so cool.
What's this year's charity of choice?
You know, I don't know. I've only been involved the last 2 or 3 weeks. I took over the hotel liaison position.
Okay.
Kind of like really late in the production cycle, so I'm not sure of a charity, but I'll get that. And if have one, we'll make sure we get that out so that people can learn about it.
No, I know. I was floored with the Enable. I don't know if you know what this is, David. Basically, you know, the kids that are missing like arms or legs or whatnot, it was 3D printed, but it would be like Iron Man's arm or Darth Vader's arm. So it's like the kid not just, you know, it's bad enough he's missing an arm. He doesn't have to wear this like rubber ridiculous thing from Wright and Philippus. He's get this cool sci-fi, you know, kind of, yeah. So it was
You went from the freak missing an arm to, oh my God, you're Spider-Man.
Right. And not only that, it costs 30 grand to get one from Wright and Phillips. These cost like $300.
Yeah.
I think even less. Like the materials, the raw cost to print those is like sub 50. And think about like with kids, you know, you have to buy new shoes to them every couple of weeks, right?
Yep.
Because they're growing like crazy. So why would you spend $30,000 on a professional product when you can just basically print different sizes for kids as they grow up, which is, oh, just love those guys.
That's it's very, very cool.
In the future. Yeah, other guests of honor this year that are really awesome, Ada Palmer, who's a science fiction author, Sumana Harihariswara, who is an open source contributor who has been involved in, oh my God, everything. Coraline Ada Imke, who's another speaker, writer, and open source advocate and technologist. I talked about Cory Doctorow, Kevin McLeod, who runs a royalty-free music site called incomptech.com, which basically, if you've ever done any kind of Creative Commons royalty-free music, he's the guy that's behind that.
Interesting.
An international award-eligible composer and copyright activist. And then Tommy Edison and Ben Churchill, which the blind film critic, which is apparently a really large YouTube series where he was born blind and he's basically reviews movies from a blind person's perspective.
Wow.
Super interesting.
I said binge watching in my near future.
Good thing he doesn't like Castaway. I don't know.
Who the hell is this Wilson guy he keeps talking to? But then the last thing, the Hack of Honor, which is my absolute favorite, is every year we have something. Last year, Enable was the Hack of Honor. Before that, it was a virtual reality platform called Game Face Labs, which was this guy basically saying, you know, I don't care about you, Oculus. I'm going to do my own crazy thing. It's called the Tricorder Project. And basically, this guy has made a device, a handheld device that allows you to sense things around you that are not perceivable to you. Things like electromagnetic frequencies, any kind of phenomena that you can't see or visualize them, such as temperature, pressure, things like that. And it's basically trying to turn everyday experiences into opportunities to learn more and understand about science in the world. And this device is like super cheap, so super accessible to buy.
Huh.
And the guy's name is Peter Jansen. He's a PhD from Canada, and he's coming to talk about his tricorders. And I'm so excited to see those demos.
That seems very cool.
I'm excited about Con.
That's awesome.
It's been a lot of freaking work the last 2 weeks getting the hotel stuff put together. But you know what? That's why I moved here from Michigan. That's how I met you guys. That's how I got onto the show. So PingoCon will always have a place in my heart, and I will always kill myself to make sure it
happens. And it's not this weekend. It's next weekend. It's the 28th to 30th.
28th to the 30th, yep. So starting around 4 o'clock, opening ceremonies is at 6. Paneling runs till about 2 o'clock in the morning every day.
Yep.
And we'll wrap it up around 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Not ours.
No.
Our panels are over earlier because we have parties to prepare for.
And yeah.
And well, because again, I mean, that's the corner that we've perennially painted ourselves in with, you know, our pink slip party events is, okay, how do we one up ourselves?
Now what? Yeah. You know, now what?
We've had Ghostbusters. We've had Cryo. We've had, what's next? Yeah. So, okay. Now how do we keep our mental of best room party?
We got to invite the Ghostbusters. So we have the 80s room.
That's fine with me. How about you invite some stormtroopers, huh?
No, they don't like us. No,
well, Spaceballs, not stormtroopers.
Yes. The 502nd. We're starting the 502nd, just Spaceballs only.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, yeah. So that's not this weekend. That's next weekend. And, you know, and like we were saying, I mean, God, the next month for us is ridiculous. I mean, so we've got, you know, PenguinCon that weekend. We've got our event Thursday night. We've got other random live broadcasts here and there. We've got the Detroit Music Awards that we're going to be at on 5/5. We've got the UFO, the Otis Files, the movie premiere on the 6th. We've got
somebody I know started that, didn't they?
Start is a loose term. The studio starred in it. I may show up once or twice. Then we've got our friends over at why am I blanking? Perrette. Why am I blanking?
Merritt.
Thank you. God. The MMC MCR Con that will be out at on the 17th, which immediately precedes
Converge.
The 18th. And then we've got Converge, which is – well, no. So before that, before Converge, is Motor City Comic Con, which is the day after the Merritt event, which is the 19th to the 21st, where weird science. That's the goal.
No expectations. Don't.
I have expectations.
Don't.
And then the week after that is Detroit Startup Week and Converge and B-Sides and all that other stuff. I mean, it's going to be a crazy, like, next month and a half for us.
I think my Czech liver light is coming on in advance.
I'm buying myself that t-shirt that says, shh, liver, you're fine.
So, hey, we are going to wrap things up for episode 192 here at for the IT and the D show. On behalf of Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nerdy the FNG, we appreciate the time you spent with us. Thank you very much to our gracious sponsors, HostGator and Couchbase. Check out the wrap-up for the coupon codes to get those awesome
there's still no Q in that word.
Coupon codes. Also, thank you to our segment guest, David Derajotis. From Burns and Wilcox. That was an awesome discussion. And do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you soon. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Root.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.